Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Are you doing any telehealth, teletriage, virtual care? I'm doing a hook, Dr. Trimble, because I'm sure people are like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
So we're going to chat with that. And I can't think of anyone more competent and passionate about all these different sectors. A whole bunch of things we're going to chat about. But Dr. Jess Trimble, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you today?
I'm so glad. I've been looking forward to chatting with you because, you know, when we're in the live events and settings, because when you're speaking, you're doing your thing. And I didn't get a chance to be like, what's going on? You know, you're pretty busy giving your talks there. So thank you for being a great speaker with us at the Fetch conferences. But
happy to. I love speaking at conferences and actually getting to talk to veterinarians and like help them have that little light bulb moment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so you know, I tried to see you, but in between your talks, you had a line of people.
Good.
I felt like I was in the appy department. I should have taken a number.
Yeah. Next time I will bring my roll of numbers
for you. Yes, please. I definitely want one. So to our listeners that are familiar with Dr. Trimble, she's a veterinarian who's passionate about how virtual health and new technologies can improve the lives of the whole veterinary team and enhance practice operations while also improving pet health and making care more affordable, which we're going to talk about in a moment. She is a 2013 grad of the University of Illinois, and Dr. Jess worked in mixed and small animal practice and general practice, urgent care, house call settings across Central and Northern California. Currently, she is the Chief Veterinary Officer of Anipanion, a veterinary health telehealth platform. After working in general practice, she started working with veterinary startups in 2016. She now advises veterinary startups in addition to providing telehealth consulting in private practices. When she's not working, she's painting, woodworking, hiking with her dog, reading with her cats, hanging out with her hubby, and fellow veterinary entrepreneur, Dr. Rob Trimble, who, by the way, listeners, you also need to connect with him. He is very fun and a lot of fun to chat with as well. So much to get into, but I want to ask you, actually, let's back up. I actually never asked you this. What got you into virtual care and telehealth?
That's an interesting path, actually. So the second job that I had at a school, I was working in this little sort of walk-in urgent care center in downtown San Francisco. And like, oh my goodness, it was probably one of the favorite jobs I've ever had. The clients were absolutely amazing, as you can imagine, like
yes.
Downtown San Francisco clients. Like the stories that I have, I once had a man light his pants on fire in my parking lot. Like yes. Just crazy stuff happened all Lord. The time. But as a part of that, I dealt a lot with folks who couldn't afford care or needed a little bit extra help with communication. You know, I was dealing very much with two populations of people, one, which is I have all of the money and none of the time. And the other, which was all of the time and none of the money. And so the thing that brought both of those populations together is I could communicate with both of them and help both of them much more if I did it electronically. So that's really where it started for me, was understanding that I could help people and their pets so much more if I would just, you know, communicate with them in a way where I was meeting them rather than forcing them to come to me. And then from there, actually sort of stumbled into my first startup, which was started as a mobile house call startup and sort of evolved into a telehealth platform as we saw that there was a huge demand from our clients. And that's where I really fell in love with it. So over the course of about 4 years there, we did almost 300,000 telehealth consultations.
Oh my goodness.
And it was such an incredible experience getting to see how we helped the pets and how we helped the people, but also how it helped our team and our doctors to worry less and be more efficient and be able to see more patients. And it just sort of clicked, like, oh my gosh, this helps everybody.
Right.
Like, all players in the game.
Do you think that with COVID now that was here and quarantine, did that expedite? Are in your experience, are you finding like our colleagues are adopting virtual care a little bit more because of what we've been through, or is it still like we're at a status quo?
Yes and no. I think actually COVID scared a lot of people with telehealth because all these clinics jumped on board. They thought that they had to have it. And then they tried to implement it in a time of just utter chaos for their hospitals. And they realized that they didn't have the time or the bandwidth to do it right. And then they all dropped it. So we're starting to see them come back now that things have calmed down a little and they have enough time. And they're like, oh, you know what? This could be useful, especially as we're seeing staffing shortages. They're really starting to understand that this could help them more. So, you know, I think the pandemic definitely raised some awareness that telehealth is an option. But it still hasn't really taken off the way that we would hope that it would.
Yeah, because on the human side, it's just normal now. It just says, you know, always, right? And we're just nowhere near where it is on the human side, it sounds like, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, we have to think too about our poor veterinary team members that, you know, they're the ones responsible for implementing these platforms and choosing these platforms and creating these workflows. On the human side, the doctor is just handed a like, oh, here, talk to this person through a screen, right? They don't have to do any of the business side of things. And I think that's a big difference.
It is. And again, our patients can't really talk to us. So we have that whole thing with the BCPR thing. So I want to ask you this too. And I really want to know, because I may be using the words wrong. When I think of, is virtual care the same as, you know, telehealth, or is telehealth under an umbrella of virtual care?
And, you know, I think this is one of the reasons that veterinarians are also cautious about it, is because there's really not great set definitions out there. So for me, I see virtual care as just the general umbrella of any sort of technology that we use to communicate with our clients and treat or diagnose our patients. You know, we've got telehealth and teletriage and teleeducation and teleadvice and telemedicine. So for me, virtual care, telehealth, they're sort of the same thing. It's just helping a patient through electronic means.
And I feel like we've been doing this for years. We just didn't really have a name for it. Like whenever I would do an ECG lead over the phone.
Yeah, that's
telehealth.
Totally. Yep.
Right. And I mean, think about that. And then, yeah, and even you take it one step even further. If you have any of our listeners have responded to a single DM, a direct message from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, you just did virtual care, right?
Yeah. I mean, the number of times my poor front desk, you know, has to pick up and say what a Benadryl dose is for a dog. It's telehealth, right? We've been doing it from the time that veterinary medicine was established.
Right.
Yep.
What do you think is, so, okay, so let's back up a little bit. So the vet students, the new graduates, they really are craving it. They know that it's here. They're learning about it, which is so great. They're teaching it in the veterinary schools. So where do you think the disconnect is happening? I know, I don't want to say an older generation, but maybe the ones that have been practicing and it's been done this way before kind of a mentality versus the ones that are saying, when do I get to do a virtual care day? How do we come together on this?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's actually the question that I face in my own job every day. Like, this is what I do, is I help clinics understand how to sort of meet in the middle, you know, because we have, you know, veterinarians that are absolutely against it. And some that are like, this is all I ever want to do. And so how can we find that happy compromise in the middle? And I think for a lot of veterinarians that are practice owners and they're running the business, you know, they see a veterinarian providing telemedicine and they're like, you're not gonna, you know, I'd rather have you doing surgery. I'd rather have you doing something that is a much more sort of high dollar money making sort of procedure. And so there's, I think, something that we need to get over, which is that veterinarians need to be making like a lot of money every single second of the day. And their mental health matters. And if they need to have a work from home day where they're, you know, communicating with clients, maybe that's a great idea. And maybe they'll stay with the clinic for 15 years instead of 5 years. So it's just a lot of helping some of these folks that are a little resistant to it understand that the benefit's not just singular. You know, we're making the practice more efficient. We are helping your employees and staff have more flexible working environments. We're catching problems with our patients earlier. We're strengthening the relationships and the trust with these clients. And once we can sort of help them see that multifactorial benefit, then they're a little bit more on board with it. But when we say, hey, you're doing telemedicine, no, that's terrifying for them.
Right.
So we have to help them see all the range of benefits.
the big picture. And I think there's such value to bonding your clients to your practice this way. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir, whether you know it, you get it. But when I do these live streams, I'll go live on TikTok, for instance, with pet owners. And, you know, I'll get a good amount that will be on there, like maybe from 2,500 to 5,000. And they all have said the same thing, because I asked them, they want virtual care. Listen up, veterinarians, if you're listening to this, they want you to do it. They are ready. They're willing to pay. They call it the peace of mind medicine is really what they want to know. Is this something that I should come to you today, or this can wait? Or is this something like, thank you for the advice, I forgot how to clean my dog's ears, for example. So I think that there's that other disconnect that's happening between the veterinary profession and the pet owners. The pet owners are like, yes, bring on telehealth, you know, like we want it, especially the Gen Z pet owners. You know, they're, I'm sure, you know, I would love to hear your insight on that. But so I just think that's it's an interesting takeaway that I'm seeing when I'm chatting with pet owners in the virtual space. Is that what you're seeing too?
100%. And, you know, I think a lot of this also has to do with sort of the evolution of the internet and how we view it, right? Because when we first had access to all the knowledge, everyone thought that they knew everything because they could find it right there. And that's where I think we saw some of the erosion of trust in our veterinarians, because all of a sudden people are Googling and they're like, well, I found this one website that said this and I read it on the internet, so it must be true. But now we have our millennials and Gen Zs especially, who understand that anybody can put a website on the internet and that they can't trust everything that's out there. And we've had this shift back to our younger pet owners want that relationship with their veterinarian because they know they can't trust everything that they're reading on the internet. And so we've seen this sort of swing back now to, you know, they want to have instant access like we do with the internet, but they want to have that to the people that they trust and the team that they trust. And there's been some great studies done, like really solidifying that veterinarians or millennials and Gen Zs want that relationship with their vet electronically first.
Yeah. I'm shouting it from the rooftops, Dr. Trimble, because you nailed it. Like, it's one thing they hear from another veterinarian in the space, whatever, but they want it to come from you, where mm-hmm. they actually have the VCPR with their dog. And I know that we as veterinarians are like, oh, they're not going to come to us. They're going to come to us, but you're adding more value. They're bonding to their clients. They're going to be your best cheerleaders for your practice. And so to me, it's a no-brainer. And then on the flip side of it, like you just said, if I was a practice owner today in 2022, I would absolutely 100% make sure that somebody has flex scheduling where they can work from home and do virtual care. It's not even an option if I was an owner, because work-life balance, I'm seeing it just from chatting with veterinary clinics from around the country, just as you are. That's what you do for a living. And I think that should be the new normal in 2023. What do you think?
100%. And, you know, frankly, I might make some people mad. I think it's a little irresponsible as a business owner not to think about that, right? So, you know, I'll get super personal myself. I can't work clinically anymore because I have a chronic disease that causes my joints to just fall apart with repetitive motion. So spaying things and, you know, tying suture and over and over, I can't do that anymore, but I can do telehealth. So there's so many people like me out there whose brains still work great. I just can't literally be standing in a clinic for hours on end, day after day. And you know, when I first started hiring folks for telehealth, those were the folks that were popping up. It was technicians whose back went out lifting a great day, but they still want to use their brain and support these clinics. And you know, I hear from some clinics, you know, like sitting around at conferences, sort of listening to folks talk and complain, you know, oh, you know, what do I do when my technician's kid is sick and she has to go home for the day? You let her do telehealth. That's exactly what you do.
Yes.
So it can really help our businesses function more efficiently if we provide that work flexibility.
Oh my gosh, I'm smiling from ear to ear on this, because we're very good at complaining about things, you know, all professions are, but I mean, these are great, viable, affordable solutions that can really, we just talk about bonding our clients to the practice, but bonding our staff to the practice. How wonderful would it be, like Dr. Trimble, yeah, my kid's homesick, but I'm still here, I'm around, how can I help? Well, here we go. You can pick up a shift virtually. I never even thought of that, actually. So that's brilliant.
Oh, I mean, the cost of a virtual healthcare platform is what, like 100 to 200 bucks a month sometimes, versus the cost of having to rehire and retrain a new employee. Oh my gosh. It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Right. My gosh. So where do you think the future of veterinary profession lies over the next 5 years, would you say, with where we're at now versus where we're heading with respect to virtual care?
Ooh, that's a fun question.
Hold on, look, I have my glass ball right here.
With 8 ball, I need one of those.
Right.
Give me a crystal ball.
Crystal ball.
I think a lot of this will depend on how some of our regulatory needs change, right? You know, with the pandemic, we did see a lot of changes to VCPR rules and allowing for extensions for VCPRs. We are in this very sort of binary black and white field right now, where some people say absolutely not, and some people say, hey, we should be able to do anything we want to with our license. Why are you restricting me from helping people? And so we as a profession have to find that sort of happy middle ground. And I don't think we're quite there yet. Once we figure that out, I believe we'll be able to make much more innovation and many more strides. And as technologies improve too, right? As we get some of these wearable collars that can actually get pets' vital signs accurately, more veterinarians will feel comfortable providing advice. And so, you know, right now, these platforms are more communication, more education, maybe some light telemedicine. 5 years from now, we might have enough fun tools that somebody can actually do some real diagnostics through a screen if that pet owner has the tools at home to do it.
Yeah, that would be really something. It really would. Well, this has been wonderful. So, Dr. Trimble, where can we find more information about you and also about Anna Panion?
So I would encourage you to just go on over to annapanion.com, but more fun is ce.annapanion.com, because that's sort of where I live. I have a bunch of race-approved continuing education and telehealth resources, all for free, that people can dive into and really learn how to use telehealth and telemedicine and virtual communication in their own clinics. So that would be a great place to start to, you know, learn about Anna Panion, but really just to learn about how to use virtual care, telehealth, whatever you want to call it, in their own.
I do want to give you an endorsement here, because I've sat in on your sessions and the feedback that we've gotten from attendees. You really are one of those individuals in this industry that are moving mountains. You really are. And we can't thank you enough, because being in this position, you're right, there's a little bit of murkiness, but you're still getting above those waves and making things happen. So thank you for what you're doing. It really means a lot to us.
Oh, I appreciate it. Helping my colleagues is one of the favorite parts of my job. So I'm delighted.
Well, it shows. We got to give a shout out to the hubby too, Dr. Rob Trimble too. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed today's session. Don't forget to rate this one. As always, it helps us out significantly. And hopefully you're going to make some changes. This is a great one where you can have an actionable item that you can chat with your colleagues in your hospital to say, hey, we need to do this. I just listened to Dr. Trimble and we're going to do it. And yes, just like I made Fetch happen, you can make virtual care happen. So have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.